Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Love is a verb. It ain't a thing. It's not something you hold. It's not something you scream. When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing. Love is a verb.
Well, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? You doing all right? All right. It is so good to see you guys, all of you who are here, and those of you who may be watching around the country, around the world online. Thank you so much for being with us today. We have been in the middle of a series called Staying in Love, and just kind of help us with a recap. Just repeat after me. Falling in love requires a pulse. Staying in love requires a plan. Okay, all right, see, so now you got, we'll do it one more time. I want you to actually feel it, okay? All right, so falling in love requires a pulse.
Falling in love requires a pulse.
Staying in love requires a plan.
Staying in love requires a plan.
Yeah, you guys are good. Yeah, see, whenever you fall in love, it's really all about attraction, but to stay in love, you got to have the right action. See, this whole message is just going to rhyme. It's going to be a lot of fun today. So, if you guys haven't been with us, we are in the middle of a series called Staying in Love. And if you haven't been here, I've been pretty open and honest with some of the stuff that Shannon and I have battled in our marriage. And this series, Staying in Love, was actually done by Andy Stanley, who's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. And it is one of the resources that was put in our lives that God used to help not just heal our marriage, but change it and make it even better than it ever was before. And as I talk to so many people who are out here in the congregation, you know what? There are marriages all around us that are just struggling, and it is why I've just been so excited to share this series with you. So if you have missed any of it, you can go to christislove.org, you can click on watch, and you can go back and you can watch all the other messages. You can also have access through our Christ United app on your phone as well. So the whole series was based around this question, which we're calling the Juno question, which was, is it possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever? And we've kind of discovered that, yes, it is absolutely possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever. Is it probable? That's another statement, because whenever you look at, you know, what culture says about relationships, and maybe just what you've seen modeled for you, maybe your parents or grandparents, or maybe you have a sibling and their relationship isn't going so good. What you see modeled for you makes you think, I don't know if it's probable, but I think it's possible. And I even think it's possible for me to not just fall in love, but to stay in love forever. So we've been trying to uncover, what does it take to stay in love forever? And if you weren't here last week, I introduced you to a couple, which is Mr. and Mrs. Mugg. See, some people are laughing because they were here last week, and I promised our stage team I wouldn't make a mess this week, so there won't be beads flying everywhere, so I promised them that. But Mr. and Mrs. Mugg got a lot out last week, and they're still working on some stuff, so they need to be here the rest of the series just because they need to know what's going on. So they're just going to be up here and hanging out with us. But Mr. and Mrs. Mugg helped us. What we learned last week is that to stay in love, you have to pay attention, and I have to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. Because whenever we're, you know, married and stuff starts flying out, we always blame our spouse for what comes out of us. But yet what comes out of us, as we discovered last week, is really what's in us, and that's why it comes out of us. So we learned that last week. And then the week before that, week one, we learned that to stay in love, you've got to make love. Yeah, a verb. See, some of you guys were here. Now, guys who weren't here just woke up. They're like, preach it, brother, right? They're like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm coming back to this church. But yeah, but we learned week one that to stay in love, you have to make love a verb. And we discovered what Jesus said when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. He said, look, here's the new command I give you. Love one another. And he used the word love, and we like to use it as a noun, but he made us, and he used it as a verb. He's like, look, I want you to love actively, love, verb, one another. Love is something you do. And if you want to stay in love together forever, you need to make love. But see, whenever you pause, it just sounds so awesome to say, because people be like, say what? So yeah, so this week, we're going to talk about what Jesus said right after he said that. He said, a new command I give you, love one another. And then he said, if you remember, he said, as I have loved you. So today we're going to unpack, what does it look like to love the way Jesus loved? So if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, And if you're new to the Bible and you're not sure how to find it, it's in the New Testament. So it's towards the back part of the Bible. You'll see the guys' names, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You'll pass, you know, Acts and Romans, then the Corinthians. Philippians is just a couple books after that. If you get a whole bunch of T names, you know, you get like Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, you went too far, back it up to the left, okay? So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. Now, this letter was written by Paul, and the Apostle Paul came along after Jesus. And Paul actually wrote about half of the New Testament. And in this letter that he writes to the city of Philippi was a Greek city that had adopted Christianity. Now, he did not write this specifically for marriages. He wrote this for all relationships. So it definitely applies to marriages. And he wanted them to know, this is what it looks like to love like Jesus. So we're just going to look at a couple of verses. And the first one is Philippians 2, verse 3. And he said, do nothing, which that means no thing. For some of you, can write that down. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So, I mean, when you think about that, that's like competitiveness. So in your marriage, do not compete with your spouse. In other words, guys, when your wife is telling a story and she gets some of the details wrong, shut up. All right? All right, I see some elbows going, all right? No elbow knocking. We're working on marriages here, okay? But let her tell the story wrong, okay? Just let her go. Ladies, some of you are the same way. When, you know, we think we're right anyway, just let us go with it, okay? When we're telling a story and you're like, oh, he's got that wrong, just let him tell the story wrong, okay? Do not compete with each other. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And then Paul helps us out and shows us a little more what this is going to look like. He says, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now, this can be difficult. Paul's saying, in your marriages, what I want you to do, I want you to value him more than you value yourself. I want you to value her more than you value yourself. I want you to act like every single day with every single decision that they, your spouse, is more important than you. That's what I want you to do. And that we kind of get some pushback with that. Where they're like, whoa, hold on. Should I really do that? I don't really know. And so some of us, let's, you know, give you an example. Have you ever been in a room where you weren't the most important person there? And you have. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever been to a wedding where you weren't the bride or groom? Let me change that. Have you ever been to the wedding where you weren't the bride? Let's just be real, right? Did you notice how people waited in long lines to speak to them and not to you? Did you notice when the bride came in, everyone stood up? When you walked in, nobody cared? I mean, did you notice that? I mean, so now look. Paul is not saying that there are certain people in this world that they're lying. They are just more of a valuable person than you. That's not the point of this. He's saying, look, have you ever been somewhere where someone is just at that moment more important than you? And you have been. I have a cool example of this. Back in, it was either 2000 or 2001 when I was living in Pennsylvania. I was a reporter. And yeah, some PA people. And at the time, the governor of Pennsylvania was Tom Ridge. And I got an invitation to go have dinner with Tom Ridge at the governor's mansion in PA. And I was just like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So I got a chance to go up there and meet Tom Ridge. So, you know, just think of a time where you've been in a room with someone that you're like, whoa, you just super respect. And it's kind of like, oh, you know, someone you want like to get a picture with or an autograph. Do you know what I didn't do when I was at the governor's mansion? I did get a picture. But when I was up there, as Tom is talking, and he's like, hey, remember when I did that policy back in 97? I didn't go, whoa, time out, Tommy boy. It was actually 96, not 97. I didn't do that. And if you guys are in a room with somebody that you truly respect, with someone that is truly like, that you are in awe of, you know what you do? How do you treat that person? You treat them with a sense of awe, right? You show them incredible respect. You laugh when they say stuff that's not even funny, don't you? You do it. And you go away from these kinds of conversations with people that you meet and you're like, I'm an idiot. I can't believe I just said that. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever said in my life, and I wanted to impress them, and I just said something stupid. And so, I mean, but we know how to do this because we get in the presence of other people that we believe are more important than us, that are more valuable than we are, and we're just like, ah, with them. And Paul's like, that's how you're to treat your spouse. Every single day, Every single decision, with everything you do, you are to value them more than you value yourself. Think of it this way. Think of your most valued possession. How do you treat your most valued possession? Maybe it's like a family heirloom. You've got it protected. You've got it in a case or something, and you've got it all shiny, and you make sure no one gets near it and nothing bad's going to happen to it. Paul's saying you need to treat your spouse as if they are your most valued possession. They are the most important person to you, no matter what, with everything you've got. Now, for us, we kind of push back against this, don't we? Because we say, whoa, hold on. If I start treating them as if they're more important than me, if I start doing that, you know what? They may not return the favor. You know what? They may not. Well, hold on now. Now, if I start valuing them more than I value myself, you know what? They may take advantage of me. You know what? They might. It's actually none of your business. This is how, as Christ followers, how do we love like Jesus? And you are to do what he said. He says, look, you need to value them. You need to treat them with incredible respect, regardless of what it is you're getting back. And we don't like this because we're like, man, I'm only going to do it if it's done for me. But, you know, and if that's you, I just want you to ask this question. Would I like to be loved that way? Would I like for that to be my relationship? Would I love it if my spouse just, you know, valued me more than them all the time? They just, everything they did, they just made it feel like I was more important than them with every single thing they did. Would you like to be loved that way? You better believe you would. But yet, when we're taught that that's how we're supposed to love, we're like, whoa, hold on. I'd like to be loved that way. But if it's not coming back to me, I'm not sure I'm going to do it. You see, to stay in love, this is a decision you make. This is a verb you do. And then it becomes a lifestyle you develop. This is something you just need to figure out how to do, and you continue to do it. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And then Paul continues and he says, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interest of the others. Now, this could be really enlightening to all of you here. I'm mostly interested in the things that interest me. I know that was deep, wasn't it? Let me say that again. I'm mostly interested in the things that interest me. Meaning whenever you're married and you've been married for a while, you will just start to drift towards the things that you are interested in. And if you and your spouse, you don't have the same interest, you will start drifting in different directions. Because you will just start drifting with your time, with your money, with your focus. You'll just start drifting towards the things that you are interested in. And it's so funny because my wife, she loves romantic comedies. Loves them. And I hate them. God bless you. I do. I'm a movie fan. I really like movies a lot. But I don't think it's a lot of creativity to do a romantic comedy. We all know how they're going to end, right? And to Shannon, it's only a good movie if people kiss at the end. And it's so funny. As we were talking this week about this, I was just like, why in the world do you like romantic comedies so much? And she said one of the funniest lines. She's just like, they renew my sense of hope in relationships. And I'm just like, you do realize the reason the movie ends is simply because that they're just about to have another problem and it's going to continue on that way. That's just how it's going to happen. So I'm not a fan of romantic comedies, really could care less. And now here's the thing. The issue isn't, do I like romantic comedies? That's not the issue. The issue is, am I going to look towards her interest or only mine? And this is just one of the silly examples in our marriage. There's deeper ones. But am I going to look towards her interest or only mine? Meaning, whenever she says there's a, you know, Nicholas Sparks movie coming up that she wants to go see, am I just going to ignore it and hope she forgets about it and we don't have to go see it? Am I going to do that? Or am I going to discover what it is she's interested in and move in that direction? Because see, here's the thing. When it comes to, you know, being interested in what your spouse is interested in, you know how to do this. And I know how to do this. And how do I know that? It's because you're married. Because when you first met, you knew how to do this, didn't you? You were all into whatever it is they were into, whether you were into it or not. You meet somebody, oh, hey, what do you do? Oh, I like to run. Yeah, me too. I love to run. You've never ran a day in your life.
But all of a sudden, you love to run. Yeah, I do 8K and 4 and 5, all those. Yeah, you never do that. Hey, I love family. Absolutely, I would love to meet your parents. Where do they live? I mean, you at the beginning, you know how to do this, and so do I. And we are so interested in what the person is that we are in a relationship, but we are so into what they're into. Now, here's the thing. Couples that stay in love, they learn to do what came naturally at the beginning, and they do it intentionally over time. Because you will naturally start to drift towards your own interest. And you need to discover constantly what they are interested in and start moving in that direction. And that's what couples who stay in love, that's what they do. They find the interest of their spouse and they just make it a verb. It's an action. It's something that they do consistently. And then Paul continues and he says, in your relationships with one another, he's about to up the ante a little bit. He says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. All right, so what was the mindset of Christ Jesus? Who, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now, here's the thing with you and me. We do this all the time. But remember, this is Jesus. Jesus, who is the Son of God, when he was here on this earth, he never once used who he was for his own benefit. He never walked into a restaurant with his guys, with his disciples, and said, hey, can I have these seats? I'm Jesus. You know, he never did that. He never leveraged who he was for his own benefit. But you and me, we do this all the time, don't we? We all have our leverage points, don't we? Well, I make this amount of money, so because of that, well, I'm due this, and I need this, and this is everything that's due me in the relationship because of, you know, all this stuff. And for the wife, it may be, well, I've had this many kids, and I stay home, and I take care of this, and I make you dinner, so I deserve this and this. We all have our own leverage points, and we use them to our own advantage like crazy. But yet what was modeled for us was the complete opposite. Jesus never used who he was for his own benefit. What did he do? Rather, he made himself nothing. Another translation says he emptied himself. If you've ever been around a person where they just got to be right all the time, and they got to make sure they get what's due them, you know what we say about people like that? We say, you are so full of yourself. And yet 2,000 years ago, the example was, Paul wrote it down, that Jesus emptied himself. He emptied all of who he was for the sake of others every single time. He wasn't full of himself. He emptied himself. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a human being. What did he do? He humbled himself. He humbled him. Do you see what Jesus did here? He made a decision. He decided you and he decided me are more important than what's due to him. And he decided to humble himself. And how did he do that? By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, when Jesus got nailed to the cross for your sin and mine, he put your deal and my deal above his deal. Jesus, being the Son of God, he deserved, you know what he deserved? He deserved everything. He deserved all the honor, all the glory, all the respect. He deserved all of that. But he knew if he got everything that was due to him, he would not be able to have a relationship with us. So he humbled himself to the point of being a servant and being obedient to death on a cross, giving up everything that was due to him being the Son of God, and said, no, I'm going to give up what's due to me so I can have relationship with them. You see what Jesus did? He opted for relationship over respect. He put your forgiveness and my forgiveness above his glory. That's what he did. And Jesus just decided, if Jesus has dilemmas, if he does, he had to say, if I want relationship with them, I have to die to who I am. I can't have all of this stuff and have relationship. He couldn't have it both ways. And my friends, you can't have it both ways either.
You may have seen relationships that have tried to have it both ways, and maybe you've tried to have it both ways. You tried to have everything that you thought was due to you and still have a relationship, and with what you ended up with was a roommate if you stayed together at all. Because you can't have it both ways. You can't try and consistently have your way, be right all the time, and, oh, I deserve this because of this and this and this. You can't have all of that and still be in love at the end. See, if you want to stay in love, part of you will have to submit. And you may say, well, why in the world does part of me have to submit? Well, that's the example. That's the example. You want to know how to love the way Jesus loved? You want to know how to make love a verb? Jesus says, follow my example. And he humbled himself for you. And he humbled himself for me. And this can be difficult, this part, is that this is a decision you need to make whether your spouse makes it or not. And that can make it difficult because nothing's coming back your way, but at the end of the day, it is, am I a follower of Christ? Meaning, if I'm a follower of Christ and I'm following the example he set. And you know, as Jesus was going to the cross, he didn't say, hold on, you know what? I don't want to do that now because some of them might not love me. He went knowing some of us wouldn't love him back. He did it anyway because that was the example and the price of love. It was a way that he submitted to you and the way he submitted to me by saying, I'm going to be a servant for you because I want relationship. I want you to know I love you so much. I'm willing to do something knowing the fact that you may not care, but I'm going to do it anyway. In our relationships with our spouses, what would that look like? What would that look like to say, you know what, I'm going to love them. I'm going to value them more than me. I'm going to act like they are more important than me every single time, regardless if anything's coming back in my direction. What in the world would that look like in your marriage? And the good news is, Paul wasn't simply speaking about marriages. So if you're single, you can do this now with your other relationships. What would it look like for the relationship with your parents? Relationships with people at school? Relationships with your boss? What would it look like if you just decided that with every decision, you're going to love the way Jesus showed you and showed me to love? To say, you know what? You're more valuable than I am. And even though I may not get anything on the back end, I'm cool with that because that's the example that was set for me and that's the example that I need to have going forward, whether I get anything in return or not. You see, with Shannon and I, one of the things early on that was a huge problem for us, the example at the beginning when I was like, hey, you know, don't interrupt and, you know, let them tell the story wrong. I am a detail guy. I am. And it's OCD or something. It's crazy. And no matter what it is she would be saying, no matter what kind of story of a vacation or whatever, whatever it is story she would be saying, if she got any of the details wrong, boy, I hopped right in there to make sure those details were correct. Every single time. Oh, no, honey, no. Remember, it was Friday, not Saturday. Sweet, no, baby, I love it. Sorry, it was actually blue, not red. Baby, I'm sorry, one more time. If you remember correctly, it was actually 18, not 17. Every single time I would interrupt her and I would make sure everything was correct. And when we got to the bead thing, she said, you know what? When you do that, it makes me feel stupid. That's how I feel when you correct me all the time. Even though everything I could be saying could be absolutely right, we were not in love. Because that's not the definition. That's not how you make love a verb. So what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? What would it look like for you? What steps do you need to take to make love a verb, to love the way Jesus loved? To say, I'm going to put you above me every single time, regardless of whatever's coming back. And as our marriage started to
to heal a bit. The cool thing was, and I don't know if y'all have done this in your marriages or with other relationships, I kept praying, God, change her heart, God, change her heart, God, change her heart. The people laughing are probably guilty, so. You know whose heart he wanted to change? Mine. So for you, maybe the heart that God is trying to change is yours. And he wants you to set an example of love the way he set for you. He wants you to model what he modeled for you. And even though it may be tough and you may have tough conversations coming up, what would it look like if you just started valuing them, valuing him, valuing her as if they are more valuable to you? Is it difficult? Yeah. It's a lot better than a bad marriage. Is it difficult to do that? Yeah, it can be. It's a lot cheaper than a divorce. And you know, if two people start to do that, I guarantee you love is alive. I guarantee you, you find people here who have been married over 20 years and they're making love a verb and they're putting other people first, I'm telling you, they're blowing on that flame and it's better than they ever thought it could ever be. And it's because they made a decision to value their spouse more than they value themselves. You talk to those people and they'll tell you. I heard a story this week from Grant, who's on staff here, and he'd said, you know what? When I was making sure that I was into and interested in the things that my wife was interested in, life was great, was awesome. He said, and when I wasn't, it wasn't. And my guess is for some of you, you know that to be true. And if you were to adopt this, if you were to say, I'm just going to, from this day forward, love him, love her, as if they are more important than me. You know what the beauty of that is? That's God's plan. That's not anything else you've seen modeled in culture with your parents or whoever. That's God's plan for you. And that's God's plan for me. So as we have this time that we just love just to give between you and God, what would it look like? What is your next step to loving the way God modeled to love through his son Jesus? What is that step? Whatever that step is, do it. This time is just between you and God. However God's stirring in your heart, if you want to stand, you want to put your hands up, you want to come down here and pray, this is time for you to connect with your Heavenly Father who loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you so he can have a relationship with you and so he could model in the most powerful way possible what true love looks like.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.